Welcome to Dracena Wines Podcast. Our wines plus your moments equals great memories. I'm your host, Lori, and this is a podcast about all things wine. Hey, everyone. Thanks for listening in on this episode of Dracena Wines Podcast. Today's episode is a Winefabet Street podcast, and Elmo's letter of the day is G for Gruner Veltliner. But before we get into the podcast, there's a couple of things I'd like to mention. First, we are now on Spotify, so we are getting our word out there to more and more places, and you can help with that by leaving us a 5-star review on iTunes. It is a super easy thing to do. Just scroll down on your phone while you're listening right now, and you'll see leave a review. We would appreciate it, and it's the best way to get iTunes and others to find out what we are all about. Next, thanks to the guys over at We Like Drinking Podcast, I learned this neat little trick that you can do with Siri to make it even easier to subscribe to our podcast. Hey Siri, subscribe to Dracena Wines Podcast.
Just to confirm, would you like to subscribe to the podcast Dracena Wines Podcast by Lori Abub?
How cool is that? The things that Siri can do seem to be endless. I'm guessing that you can also do the same thing with Alexa if you're a Google person, because we are also on Google Play. Well, enough playing around with Siri. We are here to learn about Gruner Veltliner. It is a dry white wine that grows almost exclusively in Austria. I like to think of it as a jazzed up Sauvignon Blanc. So if you like Sauvignon Blanc, be sure to give Gruner a try. So are you ready to head on over to Winefabet Street? Here we go. Hi, everybody. Happy Monday before Christmas. I think we're still in Hanukkah. I'm really bad at that. So how about just...
There's one more day left.
One more day. So happy Hanukkah. Happy holidays. Happy everything. Just happy Monday. How's that?
Happy New Year.
Yes. Happy, happy, happy. And we are here tonight on Winefabet Street. And I must show what we've got.
That is great.
Elmo is officially at Winefabet Street from now on. Here he is, and I adore him, and I make him laugh. His batteries are not going to last very long because I sit there and I make him laugh on a somewhat regular basis. He's just so cute. That laugh is just, like, way too adorable. So I'm going to start off with him right now. For those of you who are new to Winefabet Street, hi, I'm Lori, and my husband Michael and I own a boutique winery in Paso Robles, California, which is on the Central Coast. We focus in on Cabernet Franc, and we are excited to be releasing our first rosé in March, which will be a rosé of Syrah. Yay! So excited. But yeah, I live my time in New Jersey and California, and this is our third vintage, and we sold out of our previous two and hoping to do the same with our third. So thanks for joining us, and check us out online. And Debbie?
I'm Debbie Giaquindo. I'm the Hudson Valley Wine Goddess. I'm a wine blogger, a wine writer. I just published a book called Tapping the Hudson Valley, Day Trips and Weekend Itineraries for the Hudson Valley wine region, visiting all the craft beverage producers, the sites along the way, the farmers markets. It's pretty comprehensive, guide to the Hudson Valley. And I'm also co-owner of Happy Bitch Wines that we weren't going to start. We weren't going to pregame it. So I've been sitting here staring at my bottle.
Okay. Here is my bottle.
Okay. And here is mine.
And I took it out of the refrigerator about a half an hour ago. Actually, exactly a half an hour ago. I took it out at 7:30. So we're not really going to talk about the wine quite yet. But we decided that It might be a little fun because we normally pregame. We thought it might be a little fun to actually taste it for the first time on camera. So those who watch can kind of see our initial reactions, not our, prepared, this is what we'll say type thing, you know. But I'm hoping I'm going to love it. I've had a couple of Gruners in the past. So it is a screw cap. Ching.
I'm unscrewed. I just got screwed. Now.
Just got screwed. We should make that as a Wine for Bet Street merch. Oh, I did a rather heavy pour, so I better like it.
I did too.
So, slancha.
Cheers.
Okay, there we go.
Oh, I like it.
Oh, it's a good thing it's a heavy pour. Yes. Oh, I am a fan. I am a fan. So I've had one other Gruner prior to this. I did it for a wine pairing weekend, and I was not as big a fan. I thought it was okay. But
I had one Thanksgiving, and it was a lot more acidic. This one isn't as acidic as the one that I had before. Mm. Although it's acidic.
Right.
Don't get me wrong.
Oh, I'm so happy right now. All right. So, I really am happy.
All right. We wet our whistle. Now we better move on.
I think it's so funny that we both were dying. It's 8 o'clock and we're like, we need wine.
Yeah, we need like, wine. Oh my God.
All right. So, general characteristics of Gruner Veltliner. So, welcome to Wine for Bet Street. The characteristics. All right. So, Gruner Veltliner is a dry white wine. Okay. And it grows mostly in Austria. You can find some in other countries, but it's Austria. Okay. It grows pretty much exclusively there. The basic premise is I think of it as a jazzed up or an exotic type of Sauvignon Blanc. So if you like Sauvignon Blanc and you want to go try something different for a change, I think that Gruner is a good option for you. I think it's got a little more pizzazz to it, but I think it's a good option. What I thought was pretty cool is the name itself actually translates to Green Wine of Veltlin. And Veltlin was an area in the Lower Alps during the 1600s, but it is actually now part of Veltellina, Italy. So it's Austrian grapes, but it originally came from this area, which is now Italy, which I kind of thought was pretty cool. And my geography really, really sucks. So I was kind of shocked to figure that out. Anyway, it is the most widely planted grape variety in Austria, and it is accounting for 37% of the total vineyards area, which is about 50,875 acres. So that's a lot of Gruner. And most of these vines are in the largest wine region, which is known as, and here's our first, I have no clue how to say this word, Niederösterreich. I think I nailed it. I don't know. I think I nailed it.
I'm sure you did.
It's Lower Austria. I had to make sure I did that Hick at the end because that is, you know, that's true. Okay. So that is considered in, or that is part of Lower Austria, which is along the Danube River, which is north of Vienna. Okay. So you can kind of see that right there on the slide here. Okay. Okay. So this is the Lenz-Moser trellis system. So, you know, I'm kind of the science geek and all of the UC Davis. One of my favorite classes that we took was actually in the vineyard where we had to learn about the soil types and soil analysis and all of the different trellising systems and why they do different systems and all of that. So the Lenz-Moser trellising system, because Gruner like adapts to so many different soil types, it loves life. No matter what you kind of do to it, it loves life. So it's a very high productive vine. And this Lenz-Moser system basically is a system that is meant to allow vines to just grow, 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 grow. Okay. So when Gruner kind of first started getting around, it really was meant to be a large bulk wine. You know, they wanted as much as they possibly can. And Lenz Moser is actually the Austrian producer who created this trellis system, and it's designed for high yields in a widely spaced vineyard. So they want to be able to harvest all of these grapes by machinery. So they have to have the vines have to be really spaced well apart so that the harvesting machines can get through. And he created this basically for that. So when people started planting Gruner, they're like, oh, this is a perfect trellising system for it. So the basic idea is that produces a light, simple wine with lots and lots of berries. So high production, which I think has kind of changed. I think Gruner has kind of started to tame down, and it went through that hole of let's just make this massive amount of bulk wine. And now we're starting to realize that it is quality over quantity. So I think that it's, you know, they're starting to tame it down, but still using, it's still a high producing grapevine. Okay. It's got a heck of a lot of vigor. So what this slide is showing is basically the main taste, the flavor profile for it. It is lime, lemon, grapefruit, nectarine. In terms of spice, you can find white pepper, iris, green beans, radish, lovage, which I'm sure a lot of people haven't tasted lovage, but I actually have. I used to grow lovage in my backyard.
Lovage. I've never heard that.
As Mike would say, it is a glorified weed, but it has a lot of medicinal purposes. So I had what I very affectionately called my witch's garden, and I had a lot of herbs that grew in the garden that you could use in, you know, that you could use in teas and natural holistic stuff. And lovage was one of those, and it brings down fevers.
Oh, okay.
And so you can make tea, and it's kind of a calming effect on you also. So it's, you know, I had it in there, but it really was, because I didn't weed. You know, there was a lot of weeding. It grew and grew and grew. And also tarragon, ginger, and honey, which, like, I'm all for that. And then the oak flavors, if you get any, are going to be Brazil nut, which I adore Brazil nuts, cream, and wax paper. The recommended serving temperature is actually 46 degrees, which is 7 degrees Celsius. It is considered a high acid wine, and other grape varieties that are recommended, like if you like this, you'll like Gruner. Related is dry Rieslings, Grenache Blanc, Muscadet, a Picpoul, and this wine totally reminds me of a Picpoul with a little bit more acidity to it. Vermentino, as I said earlier, Sauvignon Blanc, Pinot Blanc, Grenache Blanc. And here's term number two that I have absolutely no idea how to say. Its synonym in Czechoslovakia is Veltlinske Zeline.
Oh, you did that good.
Yeah, it's with a Z. Yeah. Veltlinske Zeline. I don't know. I like the name. Now, this is all science dorkiness of mine. Okay. The predominance of the soils that Gruner likes is, or in Austria, is granite and gneiss, which actually has a G. So it's like gnat, right? But it's gneiss. With that G being silent. It gives the wines a monolithic structure, and it's so it's a forceful wine. I think Gruner is like, bam, in your face, but it sneaks up on you. So it's not, you know, like, I know that's an oxymoron, but it's like you're not expecting this wine, and wah, there it is, you know. And so it's a big wine without being a big, heavy wine. So it's got, it's known for its perfumes, aromatics, and it is complex, so it can age. And as they say in Austria, not that I have ever done this, but apparently they say that drinking Gruner Veltliner is like drinking liquid stone.
I can taste the minerality.
Oh, I can taste the minerality. I have never said I've drank liquid stone, but
no.
I can taste the minerality. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So my last slide is the these are the great Austrian Gruner Veltliner vineyards. So it's basically three regions, Wachau, Kremstal, and Comtal. So those are the three regions. And then these are the vineyards that are the best known for quality Gruner. So I'm guessing if you can find, you know, if you're walking in a store and you're looking up a Gruner and you see these vineyards on there, then I say go for it. But mine is none of these. And it's supposed to be a very well, this vineyard is supposed to be very well known, but it is not listed on here. So I'm guessing this is not a complete thing, but that is, these are the great ones. And that is all I have for characteristics.
The history of Gruner. So here's a nice picture of the Gruner grapes. Like Lori said, Gruner is, you know, predominantly grown in Austria. It's the most widely planted grape. It produces a very refreshing, tangy wine with white pepper, maybe sometimes a hint of dill, usually fermented in stainless steel or very large old oak casks. One in three vines grown in Austria is Gruner Veltliner. There have Gruner Veltliner means green grape from the village of Veltlin in the Tyrol area in Lower Austria in the northeast of the country. See, I thought the Tyrol was in Austria, and all the stuff that I looked at said it was.
Well, my understanding is yes, it is, but the term Gruner Veltliner is named after the town that is now part of Italy.
Not the grape itself. Gotcha.
So my understanding, and I could be wrong, my understanding is that the region that initially grew the grape and where the name came from was Austria. But now the region that initiated it is actually part of Italy.
Gotcha.
So it's the name that is now Italian, not where.
So from the village of Veltlin in Tyrol. So in Lower Austria, in the northeast of the country, is where most of the Gruner is grown. And the vine is hardy and naturally productive, as you said. There's always got to be, like, you know, who's your daddy, who's your mommy?
Yeah.
So this, which is, I actually found this really interesting, you know. So who are the parents of Gruner? So Gruner has been traced all the way back to Roman times. And there's stuff where I had seen that it was Savagon, which is also Treminer.
Yes.
Is the mother, so to say, of the grape. So DNA analysis was done. And for a very long time, nobody really knew who the parents of Gruner Veltliner were. So DNA analysis was done and identified Treminer as the parent of one of the parents of Gruner in the late 1990s. However, a second variety was not found among the candidates examined. So can you picture this? You know, all the little grapes lined up in the lab. And none of them were found to have anything, you know, any relation to Gruner. So in 2000, actually, the missing parent, which the father, was found in a single, abandoned, very old vineyard in St. Georgen am Liebridge.
Sounds good.
Burge. And it's just outside Isenstadt in Burgenland. And the vine cannot be attributed to any known variety, so it was named Georgener Rebbe after its location.
Okay.
So March 4th was the big day in 2007, where Hans Moser reported that the vine had been analyzed in close to Nuremberg, and that the initial examination suggested that the vine was the missing parent variety of Brunner Veltliner. In fact, all 19 chromosomes matched, means that St. Georgian vine was scientifically proven to be the missing parent, because all 19 chromosomes
matched. Ding, 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 yes.
The Brunner. So that's who the daddy is. The name of the grape was shortened to St. Georgian. He is the father of Gruner.
That's pretty awesome.
That was pretty. And you know, that's not too long ago. That was only 10 years ago.
Yeah, well, you know, the DNA analysis really hasn't been, you know, we're only looking at probably 10 to 12 years that they were been using DNA analysis to find out the parents of, or to, you know, I mean, remember at one point they thought Cabernet Sauvignon was the father of Cabernet Franc, and it wasn't, right, you know, exactly, it was the DNA evidence that showed it was the other way around. So it's DNA evidence really hasn't been around for, you know, that long.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Yeah.
But so cool. I could go do that. I could go be in a lab. I'll go PCR the DNA, whatever. I loved working with DNA when I was in college, and oh my God, it's amazing to, like, you know, pull out a string of DNA. Oh, it's amazing. Never done a grape DNA, but
scientist in you is coming out.
Oh, so cool. So cool. Sorry. Go ahead.
So that's okay. So Gruner is grown around the city of Vienna, kind of where I have the main vineyards in which you talked about, is where the blue arrow is.
Right. I probably should have paid more attention in high school in geography class, but I really hated my teacher.
So the greatest concentration is west of Vienna, and the vineyards are in the lower hills of the Wachau, Kremstal, and Kamptal. Typically, that's where they plant the Gruner. Higher up in the hills is where they plant the Riesling. Gruner Veltliner needs mineral-rich soil, water, retaining loss and loam to achieve its full potential. And these areas have deep lost soil, and Gruner actually does not like dryness and is very sensitive during flowering and is susceptible to Peronospora, which is a class of water molds.
Yep.
And what it does is it gives the green leaves like these like bright yellow polka dots on it. Mm-hmm. I guess that's like the best I could describe of the thing. So I just wanted to go through just briefly the different regions, and then
You know what keeps popping in my head every time you say that? Camptown. I like Camptown races, you know, that song. I don't know. Forget it. Go ahead. I'll drink more wine.
Okay. So Kamptal gets its name from the river Kamp that flows through it. It's home to Austria's largest wine-producing town called Langelos, with 3,907 hectares. The Kamptal DAC defines wines made from Gruner Veltliner and Riesling in two styles. The classic style, medium-bodied wine in a rich, opulent, dry reserve style that can show some botrytis and oak. Now we can move to Kremstal. Doesn't this look beautiful?
It really does.
You know?
I want to be there. If I knew where it was.
Yeah, I want to do one of those river cruises. So anyway, getting back to Kremstal, it boasts 2,368 acres of vineyards divided into three zones, rocky soils in the Kremstal River Valley, and then you have the historic town of Krems, and then Stein in the southern bank of the Danube, opposite Krems. The Kremstal DAC was first introduced in 2007, and it stands for the vibrant and spicy Gruner that you will get from Kremstal.
So it's a DAC?
DAC. Kremstal DAC. Wines are available in classic, fresh, medium-bodied, or rich, more intense reserve wine. And then we have the Wachau.
Ooh. Look at that.
Now, the Wachau area is a UNESCO World Heritage Site, and it has 1,344 acres, producing some of the best wines in the world. And then in the 1980s, a group of producers got together, and they created their own codes, descriptions for the wines that they're developing there. So where the dry white wines are divided into three categories. And it's all based on their alcohol content by volume, aromatic, light-bodied wines up to 11.5%, They're called Steinfeeder. And you'll find these on the labels of the wines from the Wachu area. And Steinfeeder is actually named after a local grass. And the most common category is the Federspiel, which that Federspiel refers to a falcon that you can find in the region, with 11.5 to 12.5% alcohol. And then you have the late harvest, rich and powerful dry wine, rich and powerful dry wines that carry the term Smaragd. Smarg?
Okay, sure.
And that is actually an emerald green lizard that lives in the vineyards.
Oh my God! So I was like Googling, right? Like I do everything. And a picture of this green lizard came up. And I was like, well, that's weird. But now I know why.
That's what it's named after. So now how did Gruner get so popular? Where did, you know, the history of Gruner dates back all the way to the mid-1800s. When at that time, it was one of the many varieties that were commonly grown. And it was actually known as, here we go, and I sat here all afternoon trying to pronounce these words, and I hadn't. It was great. But now I'm live and forget it. All is lost. Weibgipfler. Weibgipfler. And then back after World War II, when Austria and everything was recovering, people in Vienna used to take weekend trips to the countryside, and they used to gather in what is called a Heeriger. And that is the term that is used for a legally designated wine tavern owned and operated by wine growers. Oh. And so these taverns offered people a place to escape, to eat, drink, be merry, have fun. And this is where Gruner really became the favorite of the visitors. And that's when the wine growers began to focus more on the grapes and produce more of it. So where else is Gruner grown? So Gruner is grown in the Czech Republic, and it's known as Veltlin, or how did you say that, Lori?
Vetlinski Zelin.
Yeah, there you go. And across on the Hungarian border in Sapron, it's known as Zolvetlini. It's also grown in Slovakia, the Trento Alto Adige region. It's grown in Germany, Australia, California, and in New York in the Finger Lakes. So I tried to get a good little variety there of the different bottles you'll see. So that's pretty much it on the history. Mm-hmm. But I would say predominantly it's grown.
Yeah, I think that's where you kind of want to stick. I think that's where you want to stick to, you know.
Yeah.
So it is time.
And I've had that Dr. Frank Gruner, and it's not bad, but it's not as acidic as this. This stuff's got the zing.
Yeah.
Like the great acid head.
Yeah. This is. It's officially time to drink now, though. I am. It is definitely lime.
I get lime too.
I'm getting lime, and I do get the honey. And there's something else in there, but I'm not.
I get a little like I want to say straw almost. I have light honey, but ooh, that was nice honey.
I'm getting honey, but there's something else in there. There's a little like spice, but I wouldn't say it's white pepper, like they had said is common, but there's something, it kind of, which I have no idea if it's supposed to be in there or not. Cardamom.
Really?
But you know, I don't really cook, so that might be the wrong spice, but that's what's coming to my brain.
That's what it comes to mind.
But this is really, really nice.
I might
get
a little bit of, just a tad of little white pepper on the nose, like in the very distant.
So I went to the dentist today, and after she told me to rinse out, she's like, you know, you are the most effective rinser I ever. And I said, I said, I think that has to do with the swirl, the swishing of the wine in my mouth. I think I just think everything is wine, and I just swish away to get the, you know, to get the flavors. You know, you know, whatever your, you know, the polishing thing has a flavor. I'm trying to get it. I don't know. But she was so funny. She's
like, I went to the dentist right after I came back from the conference, the Wine Bloggers conference. She goes, oh my gosh, you've been drinking a lot. my teeth were so stained with red wine.
Yep. That's what mine just now, she just says, oh, we're not so bad this time.
I get some apricot in this. Or maybe it's nectarine. No, it's nectarine. Sorry about that.
Yeah, I'm still sticking to the end of the wine.
Oh, okay. The finish.
No. I'm still going with cardamom, but somebody will comment that it's not cardamom, but I need to now go get cardamom and smell it. But all of my baking spices are in California, so I'm not gonna remember in a week. All right. So this,
I like it as it warms up. Go ahead.
It is, yeah. I don't know. I need one of those thermo. I'm going to have to take that home, take that back from California, because we do have a little, you know, those like thermometers, you know, that you stick on your forehead and it tells you your temperature. Somebody bought us one of those for a wine bottle.
I have one too.
So I'm curious. I need to bring that back because that's just sitting in the closet. Mike's not going to use that, but that's kind of, I don't know what temperature this is at. But it definitely has changed since it's been sitting here. So anyway, this is my wine, and I don't know if it's Leith or Leth, and it is Gruner Veltliner 2016 Steinegrund. So they have a lot of vineyard designated Gruners. They basically make Gruner Veltliner and Riesling. That's pretty much what they make. And it says, Fels am Wagram. So I'm guessing, because, you know, this is how I roll. Fels am is like product of or made in Wagram. But once again, I found a nice little family-oriented little winery. So it is situated in the heart of the Wagram wine-growing region. It's really not made from, I totally lied. It's Fels am is the name of the town. Fels am Wagram. And, you know, as everybody says, you know, oh, you know, why did you come to this wine region? Oh, we came because we hunted all over the place and this is the ideal spot. Blah, 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 you know, whatever. Everybody thinks they have the ideal spot, including us. So Wagram offers the excellent conditions for viticulture with lots and lots of that Lowe's slopes that Gruner loves. And they actually were named, oh, I take that back. Sorry. Wagram used to be known as Donauland. And for some reason, which I could not find, it was changed its name in 2007 from Donauland to Wagram. And the winery has 2,720 hectares of vines planted, and they have it in two zones. So they have some vineyards north of the Danube and some vineyards south of the Danube. And it's like a big difference, apparently, between those two. What else about these guys? It's part of Comtal. Comtal Races, that place, that's where it is. It encompasses, apparently there's cute little villages in that little area. They make their wine in the historic, here we go, Klosterneuburg. How's that?
Okay,
Klosterneuburg, which is just outside of Vienna. And the region was actually made by the glacial winds that blew fine particles of agglomerated clay, sand, and lime, which is what loess is, into the prehistoric bedrock of the Danube. So I am not a geologist, but that sounds freaking awesome. Like, I want to go and, like, check that out. Like, I think if you go in and you look at the layers of that, that's got to be awesome to look at. Because the layers go 20 meters deep. So I think that'd be,
you gotta get that app Soil Web for your phone.
Yeah, I know, but I got to go to Austria too now, you know? Wines of Austria, you know, Debbie, me, you want to send us there, you know,
yeah.
We're all over it.
I'm game.
Yeah. Right. So the soil in this area allows the vines to actually, the roots of the vines to go really deep. And as you were saying, the water, right? So it allows the roots to go really deep and absorb the water and nutrients in the subsoils, so that they don't have to necessarily overwater it, because the roots are really strong down below. What else? Gruner. Or at least Leth Gruner likes to let the terroir speak. So they don't do very much to the vines. They let them grow and let the wine do what it needs to do in the soil. There is a pretty decent diurnal variation between day and night, and that is what allows the grapes to stay on and ripen a little more. As for the winery itself, or the winemakers, it is a third-generation winemaker, and he is the leading producer of the Wagram. The website has a really cute picture. There's, like, the whole family in front of a tree. It's really nice. Franz Leth has been the ambassador of Austrian wines for over 20 years. And he is looking to the future of Austrian viticulture and the preservation of its heritage. Leth family has planted the first living grape museum, planting and maintaining nearly 150 ancient grape varieties. I so want to go see that. Like, that, I think that is so cool. So I'm assuming it's on their property, but their property is amazing. Like, if you go look at their website, it is so beautiful. So it's Steingrund is a terraced vineyard which extends from the foothills to the peak of the site. The vineyard gets its name from the predominant loess deposits over gravel conglomerate. So that's the Steingrund. I guess that's what that means. And their tasting notes, which, yeah. Rich and lush, I'll give that. Ripe peach, I don't get any peach. And buttery apple. As soon as I saw that, I was like, oh my God, please no butter bomb. But
yeah, yeah, but they're stainless steel, so that buttery apple must be, you know, the flavor of a certain type of apple.
Yeah, it's,
if you think of it.
I can get, I call everything that's in that category Granny Smith, because I don't really,
yeah,
you know, but golden, that's what
could be golden delicious too.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I'm getting, but I wouldn't use the word buttery at all.
Well, here I'm trying to pour myself the wine and I've got the cap on.
Oh, that's a little tough. they say it has a long spicy finish. So it does have a nice long finish. I really do agree with that. It was harvested in the middle of October. They yield 1.7 tons for 2 acres.
Wow.
Their elevation is pretty low, 220 meters. And it was, you know, in stainless steel. It spent 6 months in stainless steel with 3 of them on its lees. And I think that's what gives it all of its, you know, that nice little essence it's got. Only 12.5% alcohol. So that means that bottle is going to go really quickly. And 1,250 cases of this wine.
Oh, okay.
But they do have, I couldn't find exactly how many cases they produced completely, there's a lot of wine that they produce. There were like 8 different vineyard designated Gruners, and then they had vineyard designated Rieslings. So I think they're kind of a high production winery, even though they're family owned. But this is just 1,250 cases. So
just 1,250.
Just 12. You know, piece of cake. You know, whatever. So that is my Gruner Veltliner.
Okay, so mine. Everybody see that one? Is the Buschegger 2016 Gruner Veltliner, and it's Far Wingarten from the Kremstel area, Kremstel DAC. It's actually the Gettersdorf Kremstel area.
Okay, so we have two different DACs.
No, it's one. The Getter.
No, yours and mine. Yours and mine are two different. Yours and mine are two different DACs.
Yes. And this is 13% alcohol in this. And it's actually, it's a family-owned business.
Yay!
Established in 1893.
Ooh.
And current owner, Walter Buschegger, took over from his father in 1994, making him the 6th generation to run the family winery. They have 15 acres of vines located in Kremstel, mostly on conglomerate soil, topped with loess, where he grows the Gruner and the Riesling. He also has some Zweigelt, Chardonnay, and Merlot. He farms sustainable farming practices. He allows the soil to breathe, which he feels leads to healthier root systems and vines. He doesn't use herbicides or insecticides in the past 25 years. He plants his vines, 4,500 vines per hectare-acre, which is higher than the average. But I will say, like a lot of, I had some translation issues when I was trying to research on the website, but I have to read this quote to you because I thought this quote was great. He said, Walter says, I'll read you the whole paragraph because the quote at the end I thought was great. And I don't know, maybe it just kind of just hit me that way. So his philosophy of making wine is directly related to the locations where the grapes are grown. His vineyards rank among the best in the whole Kremstel Valley because most of his vineyards are precisely oriented on the southern slopes, and he knows maturity problems only from hearsay. The consistency, high ripeness in the grapes always ensures sufficient natural alcohol content. And then he says, they should not only score points at tastings, but also prepare a lot of drinking fun.
Yes!
I just really like that quote. This wine's going to drink. And you know what? This wine is very easily drinking. It just goes down really well. It's nice. It's not as high acidity that I thought it would be.
Mm-hmm.
On the Gruner that I had Thanksgiving was much higher in acidity. But this is a really nice, easy drinking wine. Somebody likes Sauvignon Blanc. They'll definitely like this. And actually, they like more California Sauvignon Blancs. You'll find this a little bit.
Yeah, because this doesn't have the, the New Zealand.
So this I bought from this, I don't want to say it's a wine club, but I subscribe to this newsletter. And the company's actually, they're out in Washington State. So he ships twice a year, barista, February and in October. So this wine was $19. So it's not a make your bank wine. But if anybody saw like my dilemma, I had 3 different Gruners to choose from. This one was the most expensive. The other one that was made by the same gentleman, but from a different whatever, Far Garden, was a different, whatever,
region.
Vineyard. A different, actually, I think that's the vineyard.
Oh, okay.
Different vineyard. That one was $13, and then the 2014 was $9. So they do range in price.
Right, and mine was $15.99.
Yeah, so you're not breaking the bank on Gruner. And I think, you know, well, we'll get into the food pairing things. But it's a really nice wine, and I urge you, if you see it in the store and you want to try something different, and, you know, I would definitely reach for that bottle. Mm-hmm. And it's not going to break the bank.
I agree. And I don't know why I have an echo. Are you hearing an echo?
I did just a little bit ago.
Technology that I have no clue. So you're up for food pairing. My brain is like going and going about what to pair with this. So I'm curious as to what you have.
You know, there's some nice, did you know that Wolfgang Puck was an Austrian chef?
No, I did
not. Yeah, I found that out during my research.
See, always learning on Wine for Bet Street.
That's right. I had
Elmo
no idea.
Is proud of you.
And he said that he loves Gruner for its high acidity and it pairs well with spicy and rich food. But what I thought was great is, you know, asparagus and artichokes are really hard to pair with wine.
That is true.
Because it changes the wine in your mouth to sometimes like a metally or mm-hmm. some type of an off note. But Gruner actually pairs very well with asparagus and artichokes. And then the asparagus.
Yeah.
So definitely, and those are two very, you know, difficult foods to pair with wine. Also goes well with cabbage and kale. So, mm-hmm. you know, Gruner tends to be almost like a green wine. So green, think green vegetables.
Right.
So, and spicy food too, like Thai dishes.
Give me some pad Thai.
And then Indian food.
Okay.
Curry, tandoori, and now we're going to get into some traditional Austrian. It's funny, Wiener Schnitzel.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's also German. I guess German, Austria, they're kind of...
Yeah, they're...
Because the creaminess of the veal and then the fried food with the acidity really
right.
balances out. But getting into native Austrian food, and I could not bring myself to make a slide... But kidneys. It's supposed to go well with kidneys.
Oh, hell no.
I'm sorry. Roasted kidneys. I could not bring myself to do that.
Yeah.
So if you're out there and you do eat things like that, more power to you. But
hell no. I've dissected a kidney. That's as close as I'm getting. No.
So,
see, once you dissect, you're never eating. No.
I wouldn't even... remotely think of that either. And it also will go well with chicken. I doubt kidney
tastes like chicken.
But seafood, like sushi, sashimi, it'll pair well with. And then the cheeses.
The
like
all-important cheese.
Yes, absolutely. Like cow's or goat milk cheeses, camembert, our fresh ricotta, paniera, fresh mozzarella. You want the creaminess to balance out the acidity.
Thinking fresh ricotta. See, now I can sit there and chow down a ricotta. That to me is not going with this wine, though. This particular one.
Okay.
But I'm all for trying.
I think a fresh ricotta with a drizzle of olive oil and a little lemon on it.
Oh. All right. All right, I'm all for trying.
When I was at the Wine Bloggers Conference, when I went to Behringer, they had this woman there, and I can't remember her name off the top of my head, but we did a cheese presentation, and she made fresh ricotta.
Mmm.
It was awesome.
Yummy, yum, 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 yum.
So that's that.
Always good to end with cheese.
That's right.
Good. So welcome to Wine for Best Street 5 Fast Facts about Gruner Veltliner. So one vine in every three grown in Austria is Gruner Veltliner. And in Lower Austria, here we go, Niederösterreich, In the northeast of the country, this proportion rises to 1 out of every 2. I mean, that's some stellar stats right there. That's like, bam, we are Gruner and we are proud. Fast fact number 2. The finest Gruner Veltliners in the world come from seriously distinguished sites, with the greatest concentration of them being west of Vienna on the Wachau's famous south-facing terraces on the bank of the Danube. Number 3. For many years, Gruner Veltliner has also been grown just over the Czech border in the Czech Republic as Veltlin or Veltlinskie Zeleny, and just across the Hungarian border in Sopron, where it is known as, I can't even attempt,
Zoldvetlini.
Zoldvetlini.
Hungarian in me is coming out.
There you go. Okay. I want to be here. Gruner Veltliner means literally the green grape from the village of Veltlin in the Tyrol. I mean, look at that. And so I know this is Austria, but so this totally reminded me of when we were in Alaska and they had, those aren't goats, but there were goats all over the place. And there was this shack as it just, it really reminded me of Alaska for some reason. So somebody else can tell me I'm wrong with that, but it reminded me of our trip.
I've never been to Alaska, so I wouldn't know.
Best trip ever. Loved it.
Yeah, Paul went.
I loved it there. Loved it. And my final fast fact, groovy baby, because the English speakers have so much difficulty pronouncing every word that is not American. Gruner Veltliner has been addressed. You know, the people who are trying to promote it have addressed this problem with us illiterate Americans, and it has now commonly been known by retailers and producers as Groovy. So you can go into a store and you can ask for Groovy and they will know you are talking about Gruner Veltliner. And to add to that, there is actually a winery that produces, and I don't know what their name is, but I have had it in the past. Their Gruner Veltliner is actually called Groovy, like on the label.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and it doesn't have Austin Powers on the cover, you know, on the label, but it does have those like psychedelic, you know, whatever. So it's Groovy. So you can be in the know, act like you know what's happening, go to your local wine shop and walk in and say, I'd like some Groovy. Show me where it is. And they're going to know where it is.
We'll have to try that.
Yes.
This has been a great wine. I really enjoyed this.
Yes.
In fact,
I have also. It really, as you can tell.
Yeah. I'm pouring myself another glass.
I don't know. Can you see in there where?
Yeah. Mine's the same. About the same. Yeah.
Got a nice little dent.
Yeah.
A nice little dent.
So, I'd like to thank everybody for joining us here. I mean, right before Christmas. I know it's kind of a busy time of year. But next month in January, we've got the letter H for Horse Heaven Hills.
Woo!
Which is in Washington State. Is January, Monday, January 15th at 8 o'clock. It's the third Monday of the month. So we want to, you know, thank everybody for joining us. Have a fantastic, fantastic holiday season. Wish you the very best and the very best for the new year.
Yep.
How about you, Lori?
Safe travels, because everybody's traveling during this holiday. Wherever you are going, please travel safely. Remember to, you know, don't drink and drive. And, you know, enjoy your Gruner in your house.
Yes. And enjoy your wine. Just enjoy your wine, whatever you're drinking. Enjoy it.
Enjoy it. Yeah. And remember, don't let anybody tell you what you like. Drink what you like.
That's right. Drink what you like.
Drink what you like.
All right.
Elmo says, enjoy what you like. Sláinte.
Cheers.
Thanks for listening to Dracena Wines Podcast. If you have suggestions of what topics you would like us to discuss, please reach out to us on social media or at dracenawines@gmail.com. If you liked our podcast, please subscribe at iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or whichever podcasting program you use. To easily subscribe at iTunes, please go to bit.ly/DracenaPodcast. That's bit.ly/D for Dracena and P for podcast. We would greatly appreciate you leaving a review on your favorite system. It helps others to find us. Let's get social. Find us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Snapchat, Pinterest, YouTube, Google Plus, and Periscope at Dracena Wines. And I am on LinkedIn as Lori Hoyt Budd. Check out our award-winning wine at DracenaWines.com. And remember to always pursue your passion. Sláinte.